Hi, and welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. My name is Kaya Williams, and today I'm here with some special guests. I am with the cast and the director of the folklore play that we're doing this October 6th through 8th. I am so excited to introduce you guys. But first, I have Miss Abigail, who is the director. Can you say hi for me?
Hello.
She is directing the play. We're going to have the cast come on a little later, and we're going to ask them some questions as well. But before we get into knowing more about Abigail and why she decided to put on the play, I do a segment every single week called Soft Drinks and Soft Jams, where you're going to tell me your favorite soft drink and the song you've been listening to over and over and over again. So what is your favorite soft drink or soda at the moment?
I love Diet Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who it's by, but right now I really like this song called Lemon Drop. But I don't know who it's by.
That's fine. I'll look it up later. It's perfectly okay. Good. We have a playlist that this goes on. If you're on Spotify, just type in UNA School of the Arts, and you will find the playlist called Soft Drinks and Soft Jams. And so that's where all the songs go.
Oh, it's by Raynes, R-A-Y-N-E-S.
Perfect.
Okay. I don't know them, but I like the song.
That's perfect. It's literally just a song you've had on repeat all week. And so at the end of school year, we're going to have like a whole big old playlist.
Oh, sweet.
Full of all the songs throughout the year to let us know the mood of it. So, Abigail, you are our visiting director. Can you please tell us why you're visiting UNA?
Yeah, so I'm a visiting assistant professor for the theater department. I'm visiting because I wanted the job. So it's just kind of a part of the processes of becoming a professor at any university is they put out 1-year contracts to have someone come in when they are looking for a national search to hire someone full time.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, my contract is a visiting. So I'm here for just this year. Mm-hmm. And then the goal is to ultimately hire someone full time in this position. It could be me, which would be great, but it could also be a national search. So anyone, they could search anywhere for someone to come fill this role. And that's what that would mean.
So, like, I understand that you wanted the job. Like, what about UNA was different about, like, any other candidates?
Oh, yeah, sure. This school is so exciting for several reasons for me personally. One, I particularly wanted to stay in the South. I moved here from Texas. I've lived in Louisiana, and I did Washington, D.C. for quite a few years. So I wanted to come back to the South.
Of course, Southerners.
So that was a huge perk to me. And then one is that this specific program that I'm a part of is called CATS, Cinematic Arts and Theater. And so it's a dual program in film and theater. And I thought that's so perfect because we can then form aspiring artists to go and sell themselves really professionally in both film and theater, stage and screen. And I just think that makes a more well-rounded student, and I want to be a part of forming that.
That's cool. Yeah. Most people don't know that the theater program is a part with our film program, mm-hmm. which is a dual-edged sword, and it's so cool. And yeah. I love that so much. I am a CAT student, if you can't not tell, so I am biased. But this is a theater program. It is a film program. So what is some of your background within, you know, film and theater and performing in general?
Sure, yeah. I have a master in fine arts in directing theater, and I have a specialization actually in devised theater,
mm-hmm.
Which I think you're going to ask me that in a second.
I am.
But so basically, I'm trained in, and I specialize in creating new works of theater from nothing. I'm really excited about movement for actors, how you present yourself, and that there's this real sense of collaboration in theater and performing arts. And so with devised theater, I get to dabble in a lot more than if I just structured myself to one type of theater.
Okay, well, my question is, like, what made you choose directing as, like, your, you know, master's? Oh.
Yeah, sure. Well, I almost got my master's in devised theater, but, they didn't know where their grad students would go afterwards. So I was like, job security. And I also really love teaching. Like, I love it. So I knew that no matter what my artistic job would end me in education. And so directing was just a great way to be kind of the captain of that journey.
Okay, we love that. Yeah. So this year's project is called the Folklore Project.
Yes.
So what specifically drove you to do folklore type-esque things?
Yeah, sure. So before I got here, obviously they asked if I'd be interested in directing a devised piece for UNA. And of course I said yes. I, I didn't expect that. You don't see that very often, a devised piece on a main stage in a theater program. Yeah. So, and then of course our timeline is real short. We only had about 5 weeks to put this on.
Yeah, this is like the fastest I've ever seen a devised project.
Yeah, normally they're at least double that, if not more. So this is just kind of crazy. But it's been such an exciting whirlwind too. And I forgot your question.
I said, why folklore specifically?
Yes.
Like, why folk stories and, like, fairy tales and things of that nature?
Yes. Okay, so I'm new to the area, right? I moved here a week before school started. And immediately there was the singing river was really prominent everywhere. And then there's a really strong Native American culture here. And then the historic nature of this downtown is so quaint. You just know there's a story.
If you don't know, Florence is known for like ghost stories. Everyone thinks everything is haunted.
Yes.
If you're not from around here.
Yes. And then like day two of classes, people were like, oh, there's a ghost TikTok for UNA. And I was like, what? So no, it was just the stories were already flooding in. And I just knew that I needed to, I wanted to click into the community because I'm new here and I want to hear what y'all had to say. And B, I wanted to see where our target audience was, which seems to be community driven. And so, yeah, why not pull the folklore and like ask people what are their stories about this city? I've met so many people that are from here, were raised here, went to school here. And so I just thought that is where I'm going to find my research. That's where I'm going to find the raw material for a show.
I love that. I love that. What was the casting like for this project?
Sure. We actually, the casting process was unique in that I also cast alongside the next show that's coming, The Christmas Carol. So Amanda Perry, who's an adjunct faculty and is directing that piece, her and I ran auditions together. And we actually asked for self-tapes from anyone in the UNA community or even outside the community that they could audition. And they would have to self-tape themselves telling a story where they had to play more than one character, because in devised, well, you'll see in the show, all of my cast is more than one character. Mm-hmm. And then in The Christmas Carol, there's like, I don't even know how many roles, like, are characters in that story.
I'm in Christmas Carol. There's a lot. Like, they're playing furniture, they're playing literally and everything.
So we just needed to see anyone who, if they auditioned, like, we just needed to see, can they be a chair and a person? Like, so that's really what we need to see. So yeah, we had them tell a story, playing more than one character. And then we ran kind of a workshop too, where we invited everyone to come and just get on their feet and play and collaborate and work together. Cause that's just kind of a huge focus of our theater season right now is really a collaboration on each of these shows. So that's what we looked for.
What was it like casting with another director? Because like a lot of casting is like basically just for that one show. So.
Right. I will say actually in my experience in education that commonly we are casting multiple shows at a time. It actually works really well because you get to really fight for who you want. So that's really fun to like, hey, this is why I need them. And you then know that going in. It's like, oh yeah, I need this person because. Mm-hmm. And then we both get to like fight for who we want, which is great. And it also just gets to highlight students in different roles, which is like the whole point of doing theater in educational fields like this. And then also, yeah, it just like firms your decision of like why you want it. So it was really great. And then also it was like, if you were on the fence, like, oh, I could see this person, but that would just be a different show. And then the other director came and said, no, I want them. You're like, okay, then great. I know where I'm going now. So it was actually, there was no conflict, honestly. We were both like, this is who we want. And we're like, great. And perfect. It just worked out. So, and if it had changed around, it was just going to be different shows. And that was going to be perfect too.
That's cool. That's cool. You talked about wanting to major in devised theater. Like, did you have an act, like a point in life where you were doing devised theater before that? Like, what was your path towards devised theater?
Sure. Actually, in my own undergrad, I went to Centenary College of Louisiana in Shreveport, Louisiana. My very first class, for my very first theater class in undergrad, was a movement course. And I was so inspired because I was really strong physically as an actor on stage, not always vocally. Mm-hmm. And then I also just loved to get my hands dirty and design and work with power tools. And then I also just loved like the learning and the teaching of processes. And so Yeah, that's where that was my like foot in the door was this semester-long movement class where we just created characters out of nothing. And I was like, yes. And then they were like, oh, by the way, this is a real thing. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then I just went on to do trainings with like Frantic Assembly Company, which is in the UK. I went up to Philadelphia for a while and worked with Pig Iron Theater Company. Then I went to Massachusetts into Double Edge Theater Company and just did their trainings, their devised trainings, and worked with all of these different styles of movement. And I'm in love with it. Yeah.
That's good. Like everybody needs to find like their passion because people fit a real life. People just think theater is just standing on words and saying things.
No.
It is so much more than that. Like, to me, like, the main heart and soul of theater is within the tech and doing the small individual projects and cutting it. That's when you truly find things like that. You find devised theater from movement classes. You find theater from doing all sorts of things just from basic storytelling.
Yeah, theater or film, like, no matter what, any performing arts, your only tool as an actor is your body. Like, that is what it is. So to learn how you can move and work and access that can only make you stronger. And then even if you don't pursue theater, right, as a career path, then just being able to know how you carry yourself in public, present yourself, like that can only help you succeed if you can learn your own tics and either adjust them or fix them or use them to your advantage.
Yes, that is so true. I love that so much. Well, I love that we got to talk. I want to bring in the rest of the cast.
Please,
now.
Please do.
So we're going to bring them in and we're going to talk. Okay, so we have the cast here, and I'm so excited for you to meet them. If everybody can go down the table and introduce themselves.
Hey, my name is Zachary Baldwin. I'm a mass communications major, and I'm in the play.
Hi, I'm Ivy Johnson. I'm also a mass communications major, and I'm a sophomore here at the University of North Alabama.
Hey, my name is Jared Stocks. I'm actually the resident freshman, I believe, of this cast. I'm a history major here at UNA. Been doing theater for 10 years, and I'm so glad to be working with this cast.
Hi, I'm Ella Neal. I'm a junior this year at UNA, and I'm a theater major, and I play Juliana in the Folklore Project.
Hi, I'm Star Quarter. I'm a junior transfer, so this is my first semester. I'm a cat major, and I'm playing Elsie.
I'm Samantha Davis. I am a senior here at UNA. I am a theater major, and I play Sylvie.
Well, thank you guys for introducing yourselves. I know some of y'all are playing multiple characters. That's why some of them didn't introduce themselves as what character they're playing. Before we get started, I am also going to ask you, what is currently your favorite soft drink? And what song have you had on repeat over and over again? You guys don't have to go in the same order. It's just whatever you currently can think of. I didn't do mine. So why y'all think I'm going to do mine? I forgot it. I didn't do mine this week. Oh, my God. I'm so bad at what I do. What am I going to say? This week, honestly, I've been drinking a lot of Gatorade, as I've been told you guys already. I don't drink a lot of sodas. I just drink a lot of Sprite. So it's going to be a juice of the week. I've been drinking a lot of Gatorade because I had to start working out for Christmas Carol. Because being a puppeteer is hard work. You're going to hear me complain about it a lot. I am completely out of shape. And you don't understand how tiring it is just to hold your arms out in front of you for about 6 minutes straight. So I've been drinking a lot of water, a lot of Gatorade to stay hydrated. And my song of the week, that is a good question. It changes so often because I'm constantly listening to things. I don't have my phone on me. I will have to tell y'all when I get my phone, but are you guys ready to start? Go.
I don't particularly have a favorite soft drink. I love Fruit Punch, I see. Right now, I've been in the R&B listening to Fantasia, so I've been listening to Free Yourself.
I swear every time that song comes on, Fantasia takes over my body.
Yes.
I drink water most of the time. I would say Vanilla Coke always, though, is going to be my favorite soft drink. And my song of the week would have to be Bless Me by Maverick City.
See, this is a difficult thing for me because I have a mild addiction to Mountain Dew. Mild addiction.
Is it truly ever mild?
Oh, by no means. No. But I will say my song of the week, shout out to my freshman year experience class. We're covering history of rock and roll. So we're actually doing Jimi Hendrix right now, and nice. Voodoo Child is by far and away my song of the week.
I love that song.
All right, I don't drink soda, so I'm just going to say chocolate milk.
Or do you prefer like pre-made, or do you like the mix, or do you have a certain brand? Because I know a lot of people have like brand
loyalty.
Campus,
the Campus Purity brand, like they're completely sold out because everyone like goes for it. Mm-hmm. You can't find it now, like, in Kroger's or anywhere, Kroger's, any grocery store around, because everyone on this campus is going for Purity chocolate milk, which is kind of embarrassing for all of us.
So is it your favorite? Like your favorite brand? Or do you prefer Nesquik? Okay.
Yeah. but my song of the week would be either Socks by Chrissy or Red by Taylor Swift.
I don't really drink soda either, but if I had to choose one, I would go for Diet Root Beer every time. And I've been listening to the new Surfaces album. My favorite song is Hold On To Me, Baby. So I'd say that's my song of the week.
Got you.
So currently my favorite soda is the Dream World Coke. I don't have a reason, I just like it. The song of the week for me is Flutter by Diamond Eyes.
Okay. I've been listening. I just got my phone. So my song of the week is Barbie and Ken by Scene Queen. I love it. I love her music specifically. It's because, like, she does a lot of heavy metal, and basically she's trying to redefine it for women. So before I get into asking you guys any questions, I have another segment called Pop Off. And basically you're going to tell me the thing that's been bothering you this week. However, we're going to be very specific. And since you guys are my first cast put on here, so you're going to give me, like, your biggest pop off, like the thing that gets under your skin the very, very, very most as an actor. Abigail, you can cover your ears if you want to. I don't want them to hurt your feelings.
I probably should know.
So whoever wants to go first. I will. Okay, go ahead, Zach. Of course.
Obviously, I make this clear all the time. I hate my time being wasted. That's the main thing.
I felt that. I understand. Yeah. I'm a person that, like, strives with the schedule.
I said that to Abigail. I was like, I don't like my time being wasted. I will be acknowledging. I'll be like, hey, can we move on? That's the only thing that'd be bothering me.
I got you.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. I gotta say, probably as an actor, my least favorite thing to do with playwriting, things like that, when you're in English class and you're reading a play or something like that, and someone just cannot get the character right, especially if you've been in that play. I am talking Shakespeare here, and you know the lines, and you know the iambic pentameter, and they can't read it right.
See, that's honestly what I don't think that Shakespeare should be taught in English class anymore, purely because it is a play, it's not a book. And so you're looking at it from a book's point of view and not a play point of view. And that's, like, a whole different argument I can have for, like, a complete different day.
Oh, amen to that.
While we're thinking, I'll go on mine. Mine is very simple, and it's very much just, like, the tech in me. Don't touch somebody else's props. That is probably one of my biggest things in the world, because I'm very particular, especially because, like, I'm doing a puppet this year, so I have to know where everything is. Don't touch my props. We don't have all of our puppets made, so I have, like, these furry green boas. I love my boas. Don't touch my boas. They're mine. I have to know where they are, and if you move it, I'm going to lose my brain. So that's currently something that makes me so mad whenever I'm working. Like, I can deal with a lot of things, but when someone touches my prop, it sends me over the edge.
And on that note.
That was awesome.
If you guys don't have anything, we can't move on. It's up to you.
This is really hard for me. Like, I cannot think of anything.
You're good. I'm just a very angry person. So, like, this is why I mainly do it. Like, I always say I'm a self-proclaimed hater till the day I die.
I don't think it had to be our show specific. You could have just had any kind of actor pet peeve. I don't know that even some of the ones that were said are.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, like, show specific. It can just literally just be, like, anything that makes you mad as an actor working on something.
Okay, I have one.
Okay.
So I think boundary checking in, like, rehearsals and classes are, like, really important, and they're valued, and, like, everyone should learn them and use them and have boundary checks. And I've had, like, people in the past who, like, completely, like, disrespect it and, like, don't have a time for it. Like, and I just think that's really rude to fellow cast members, like, if they're going to take out their time to learn your boundaries, like, and be respectful to you, and then you'll turn around and not give the same respect. I don't think it's very fair. I'm very like, subdued about it, but at the time I was very, like, that's not right.
Consent is always key, no matter what you're doing. Yeah. I don't care what it is. Consent is key for everything.
And it makes everyone feel more comfortable, like, in the rehearsal space. And when you do that, it makes everyone feel more closed off, and then you can't work, and it becomes so frustrating in the process of making a show.
Yes. So. Okay, so you guys don't have to have one. I don't want to press y'all to have one. It's fine. It's just in general. Okay, then. So that was our pop off this week.
What?
What?
No. I just said messy boots.
I'm not messy. I am an angry person. I like to know what makes people tick. That's all. I'm a person that I feel like I know you more when I know what makes you tick. That's just me as an individual, though. So, how many of you guys have done a devised show before? Any of you? Oh, you have?
Yeah.
What was it like doing a devised show?
Oh, geez.
Before this.
So the big thing with devised theater, especially in my past career, as I said at the beginning, I've been doing theater for about 10 years now, and I've had the opportunity to do a whole bunch of different things, be a play fest of self-written content, and one of the highlights of my devised theater work was actually getting to work with the Neo-Futurists. So that's cool. Sort of a very niche thing that a whole bunch of our listeners are going to be like, what is that?
I know what it is.
But exactly. I think that's why Abigail and I have gotten on so well in the devised nature of our piece. But the Neo-Futurists being a new style of theater, it is postmodern, where it's all grounded in realism. It's all designed to be less acting, more showing the truth of how we interact with our environments and with ourselves. So being able to write these pieces with the Neo-Futurists, shout out to them, they were absolutely fantastic coming to our little school in Huntsville, Alabama, to help us learn about postmodern theater. It was quite the experience, and I feel as though it is helping us substantially as we go forward through this process. Devised theater, by its nature, is a lot of collaborative work, and it's honestly a lot of fun if you get the chance.
Okay, so for everyone who else haven't done devised theater, what were your thoughts about doing the show? Like, first time doing devised theater, like, what were you going in, thinking, all that fun stuff?
Zach. Initially, I was really intimidated because I didn't even understand what that meant. I just saw auditions and I was like, yeah, I'm going for it. I don't even care what it is. And then I Googled devised theater and I was like, what? We're going to make it up? I was like, how does that work? But honestly, it's been really fun. And it's cool to have like that kind of creative freedom where you don't have to like stick to a script. So I love it. But at first I was very intimidated by it.
I was very open to the experience or whatever, but I guess like when it gets down to the nitty and gritty, I really need to see the receipts, basically. So I guess now I'm at a place where I'm comfortable with it, but of course, at the beginning, I was just like, I'm just going to go with the flow on this one. It's whatever.
So basically like a lot of hesitation among the group. Mm-hmm.
I was really excited.
Oh, okay. So Ella was excited. Okay, thank you, Ella. Ella was excited.
From the get-go, I was really excited.
That's good. I've never done devised theater before. So like when I heard about it, I was really like antsy. Because originally I didn't know if I was going to be able to come to the workshop or not. So I went to talk to Abigail. And that's I was like, that's cool. I've never done it before. So I was like,
aww.
If y'all... I'm trying so hard not to yell at him because next week Zach's going to be on, or the week after, y'all going to hear Zach and me very soon. So I'm trying not to feed into him. But anyway, you mentioned like writing your own piece and having that creative freedom. So what was it like, you know, the process of writing and putting together the show from you guys' point of view?
Well, we're still in it.
I know you're still in it. I'm saying like at this current moment, like what was it like doing it? Because, you know, the show is after this, when this comes out, it's a week because we're going to put on the tickets. What is the website to get the tickets at? Mm-hmm. I wanted to say you can just go to the UNA website and type
you
in.
You can go to UNA Cat and say buy tickets.
Yes.
There's a tiny URL. Give me a second. Yeah, it's on our Instagram as well.
It's on Instagram. The Instagram is UNA, the Folklore Project.
And it's on the regular.
Is it not? What is it?
Just go to UNA Cinematic Arts and Theater.
UNA Cinematic Arts and Theater. My bad. I thought we had it.
Yeah, I got it. It's tinyurl.com/thefolkloreproject.
So if you want to go buy tickets, you can go there, go to the UNA website, go to the CAT page, and you will also be able to buy tickets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're still in the writing process, but still, how does it feel to, you know, do this kind of process? Like, what is the process like for someone who hasn't done it like myself?
You want to talk?
Go, Ivy.
Go ahead.
I think it's been really cool because I didn't answer earlier, but I had no idea what devise was. I was just like, okay. And so I walked in the first day of practice, and we were sitting in a circle, and I was like, yeah, I have no idea what we're doing. But I thought it was really cool, and it's been really cool. Everyone had such different ideas, and at first I was like, what? I don't know how we're going to tie it all together, but we have tied it all together. And it's really cool because everyone has such a creative mind, but, like, everyone has different strong suits. Like, someone might be better at writing or, like, just better at, like, rewording, like, the rewording of things or, like, set designs and things like that. So it's been really cool. And I think it's really beautiful to see everyone's, like, creative input.
So a question I have, like, I know you can't tell me the plot because that spoils the show, but, like, were there certain parts that easier, like, was it either to write the climax or the beginning or?
I don't even know how to answer that. I feel like.
You can say something.
Oh, I was like, would you like me to explain the devised process?
And you can.
Is that helpful?
That's helpful. Go.
Oh, okay, cool. So in a devised process, right, you take a burning question. And so our burning question was, what folklore do we think should be in the world today? Which sounds very lofty. But that was the question that I posed to them and our creative team, like, as a unit, and like what sparks our interest from there. Then we move to a phase of research. And so they all pulled in these different stories, different folklore of the area or their area, because almost all of them are from Alabama, which was really exciting and unintentional, but great. And so they brought in, we went to the library and we've talked with the librarians and we've talked with the history department and the English department and people around town. And so that we did our research. Then we go into rehearsal and we bring in like movement exercises, discovery workshops, things like that. And then we went into like a character development and they each developed a character based off the stories they brought in. And then we began to write the script. So we actually just got a script on Monday.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what was it like developing a character then? Let me rephrase that question.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it was hard for me at first because I was going into a certain direction. And then I was like, okay, what story can I tell that nobody really pays attention to? So I was like, oh, a close family member to me. You know, I want to tell his story, but, you know, with a twist, you know, so.
For me, creating my character actually came pretty easily because I was just so intrigued by the folklore that I brought to the table. So I actually just sat in my car one day, like parked on the street, and typed out like an extension story to what was the true folklore. And I enjoyed it. And I feel like we just kind of have tweaked that to fit what we have now.
I think that's a very awesome thing that we've had going on with that. And especially with this project, I know that we've all had various family connections, I want to say, to it, and I'm trying not to spoil too much by saying that, but I will say, my piece is sort of the ha-ha piece of the show. So that sort of fits into my background, but during the process, I think we really started off with me being a history major. Really, I wanted to tell a more grounded story, but I've known for quite some time that I wanted to tell the stories of those who haven't traditionally been heard from, which led to me going out, reaching out into my own community and finding a lot of stories from back in Huntsville way about a lot of the folks that really haven't had the time to get out and have their stories told. And you'll see that throughout the show, throughout my piece specifically, as we are doing sort of vignettes throughout. But I do want to say, no matter how lofty it may seem, try to go at it with an open mind because there are some lofty topics, some very deep topics, but all throughout it's going to be a wholesome and happy experience for everybody.
We essentially let I have seven cast members, six of which are here today. I let them each develop their own character. And at first I thought we're really just going to do an evening of stories, essentially an evening of folklore. And then like just last week we found a way to connect them all. And so that's where we are right now, is we just found like our linchpin of our moment, and we have a character running through all of the story. And so that is what's happening, is they're literally collecting these morals and lessons from our folklore and like bringing them forward to why they need to be told.
Okay. Did you guys have like a struggle finding a moral, or like was it already kind of there when you originally had it?
It was kind of daunting in the very beginning, because so many people had like really inspiring stories from their own families, and my family isn't from here, just me and my brother are. So I wanted to create something like entirely new. So developing the character was kind of daunting at the very beginning, but once I found the exact thing I'm really passionate about, I thought it came quite easily after that.
Okay, so what part of the project are you guys most excited for people to see? Like, are you excited for the set? What?
I'm excited to see the lights, because Abigail keeps hyping up how the set as a whole is going to be. So I'm excited to see it. I'm also really excited for Ella's scene, to be honest. Out of all of them, that one, even though I'm in it, I'm like the most excited to see it pull all together, because it's the most, I don't know, choreographed.
I'm just excited for myself, because this is my first play I'm doing. So I'm just ready to like release everything onto the stage. I know I have a big personality. I'm just excited to see how I'm going to do in this environment.
I am overflowing with excitement. I'm on the same page with the lights. I love lights. So I'm so excited to see that and to see what it looks like, you know, and our final result. I also am so excited for costumes. I love costumes, and it like throws me even deeper into my character to have a costume, so I cannot wait. And I am also just, I've been itching to be on stage again for so long, so I'm just so excited to be part of an ensemble on stage and acting, and yeah, I'm just really excited for everything.
And one of the cool things that I think is going to be really exciting, as I said, I've done device theater before, but one of the key focuses of device theater is repetition and going through and improving the product. And as such, I believe as part of our show, we are going to have an open forum that you guys can post to if any of our listeners come and actually see the show. You should be able to send us your feedback as part of an exercise to potentially see if we might make this maybe a recurring thing, who knows, or at the very least, help us develop more device theater in the future. See what you guys would like to see put up on stage.
Well, good. I will say, yeah, they're probably most excited about tech is because that's where we are. We're at the step, we're so close to performance that now we have to just kind of make what we do have pretty. So yeah, we're so excited about our tech elements. They're coming up next week. And so yeah, that's our new exciting thing to then be ready to perform. And then yes, in our lobby, there will be a QR code that our audience can scan and actually give us feedback, because in a traditional devised piece, we would actually go back to workshop after performing and fix or adjust or respond to what the audience was really excited about and play with that thread. So we're gonna actually go through that and have that opportunity for the audience to respond back to us. I don't know where our performance will go after that, but the information will be there and we'll have that all together.
Okay. One of my last questions that I have for you guys is, would you ever do another devised piece after this?
Absolutely.
Yes. 100% yes.
I think I would do one as well. I really like the creative aspect of it.
I would say it just depends on the person. As long as the person has faith in us and stuff like that, of course, I would do it again.
And as I said earlier, it's certainly not the first, and it most definitely will not be the last attempt at devised theater.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I didn't ruin it.
Okay. I think Abigail did a good job, because she kept the faith, was like, okay, we getting some. So that made me more excited for it to keep on pushing instead of quitting at it. So I enjoyed her being the director of this, because without her, I don't know if I would continue doing it.
Yes, she's incredible. She's been very encouraging to us and like any idea that we've had hasn't been like...
Abigail's having a breakdown in the corner. I wish I had a camera.
It hasn't been any like dumb ideas. I mean, there's been some ideas that have been like, eh, but she's never said the word dumb. And I think it's been really like sweet and encouraging.
It's also nice how she runs rehearsals because it's not a typical rehearsal. We come in, like, say you want to do something, then you do an exercise to see if it's actually what you want to do, which makes it fun instead of like a regular rehearsal where you're doing the same thing repeatedly. You learn something new every day and it's super exciting.
I'm just glad she's younger because I don't have to filter myself in any type of way. I can just come as I am. I mean, that's what made the experience more fun, is because most of the time you don't want to be filtered, you want to be held back.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's what I'm learning. It's like a devised theater. It's basically you're going through the filtering process. You're figuring out what works, what doesn't, and filtering stuff
sometimes
out.
Sometimes you are going to be mad with somebody on this cast. Sometimes you're going to be mad at her. But you still, we as a unit, I mean, that's how it is. But we as a unit, just we work together. Even though we might be different from each other and all that, we was able to work together and make something.
Oh, absolutely. I totally second that. And yeah. I feel like, As daunting as a process as devised theater is, most people would look at it sort of like a Jackson Pollock painting. It is a whole bunch of stuff splattered on there, but
that's great. I
throughout
love that.
The process, we're able to make something as, you know, dare I say, it's Da Vincian even. We've been able to make something that's absolutely fantastic, and I think I speak for everyone when we're really looking forward to seeing how this impacts the local community. And hey, maybe even we might get some local attention as far as the local historical societies. I know we've had some interest from Pope's Tavern, things like that. So who knows? It's going to be a lot of fun. At the very least, it helps us get more in touch with the local community, and that's absolutely fantastic.
Actually, yeah, let me touch on that. I wouldn't have become so knowledgeable on local history this quickly. I just recently moved to Florence. But yeah, I wouldn't have gotten into that without this show. And I'm so thankful because the local history of Florence is so intriguing. And I think that everyone should look into it.
Well, I do want to say that I'm very excited to see this. I've never seen it as a devised piece before. This will be my very first intro into devised theater. So yeah. A little pressure, not a lot, just a little. So... to calm down a little of that pressure while we go out, I always like to end with another segment called Fizzle Down, Feel Good. And it's basically, what's the one good thing that's happened to you this week? It can be as simple as like Starbucks got your order right, you got a good parking spot. What is one good thing that's happened to everybody this week? I will go first. This week, the one good thing for me is I don't have to run back and forth to my dad's house. He just got his tonsils taken out, so I don't have to take him to work because we're currently sharing a car because of my car saga that's going on. But I get to actually sit in my apartment by myself because my roommate's going to be out of town. I get to just sit down. I'm so excited just to sit down. And that also, when you guys are hearing this, Saturday we're going to record our first pop-up episode of Soda Pop. If you don't know what that is, we're going to go to different live locations and it's going to be at the homecoming game, so that's also super exciting for me.
This week I'm so excited. I literally just before this, my feet are blue, y'all can see that, but I just finished painting the floor of our set, so like we're getting so close and it feels good to paint and just, yeah, I'm really excited where we're going with this.
You tried that sticky flow?
Yeah, I painted it.
Is it sticky still?
No, I painted it.
Well, that's what I'm happy about. The flow ain't sticky.
I'm really happy that I got to eat my Rosie's Mexican food last night.
Ooh, that sounds good.
My dad loves that place.
I've been wanting tortilla chips for a week.
We should just bring some to rehearsal.
I would say yesterday was a good day because it was the first day of autumn, even though it was like way too hot.
It feels so good.
That
today.
Last yeah. night, it dropped finally. Yes, and oh my, literally me night. And Cooper, who's sitting next to me, you probably heard him laughing earlier. We were literally sitting outside. We were sitting outside complaining about the weather because we got the recording in the hot sun. And then it dropped magically. I'm so excited.
I swear last night when we stepped out of rehearsal, it was magically cold all of a sudden. Like it was all of a sudden actually autumn weather. So that's cool. And also, I had a job interview yesterday and I thought it would be like half an hour, like they usually are for me anyway. And it lasted almost 3 hours because our conversation was so good. Wow. So that was a good time.
Aww.
So for me, like, this is more of a bi-weekly good thing. I'm actually heading back home tonight after rehearsal to go back to my job at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. I get to hang out with all my friends and rep the show. As I said, we're talking about some lofty things. You might be able to deduce what my show might be about, given my job title as a museum guide. But that said, I am very looking forward to coming back, seeing the Rocket Center again. It's a whole lot of fun, and hopefully we can get some more folks inspired to come see our show, all the 60 miles away from Huntsville. But yeah, that is going to be a whole lot of fun for me.
Something that I really enjoyed this week was one night at practice. I don't even know what I was laughing at, but I was laughing so hard I was crying. I think Ella might have, she was pounding on her chest or something. I don't know. There was just this phrase going around, me love theater, like caveman style, and it really set the mood for the whole night, and I got out of practice feeling like it shouldn't be dark outside, so that was really fun.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, we were talking about energy, and I was like, Sam, imagine that you're eating a popsicle in between each of your lines. And so we got to play with this like really fun sugar rush idea. Like every line she was like, like, and she just got to slurp on this popsicle. And so then of course it was like, should we buy popsicles? And we're like, yeah, Sam needs popsicles. And that just like went for way too long. But
so funny. When Sam was developing her character, all she was eating, you was eating them Airhead things. Yes, she said, I'm going to try to get into it because I want to get a sugar rush so I can be there.
Yeah, so we're getting there. We're almost at the point where Sam's getting popsicles. So,
okay, so you guys know where you can go online and buy the tickets. You can go onto the UNA website, go to the cat page. You'll be able to buy tickets there. We have a tiny URL / the Folklore Project. Just go on Instagram. You'll find a link there. Is there anything else you guys want to promote? Social media? Anything personal?
I just want to put a little reminder to please give us feedback because I'm so excited to see what people say.
Bring your mama, your auntie, your mama's mama, your cousin, bring them all. Come on down.
Yeah, our show is just October 6th, 7th, and 8th, and we only have 75 seats a night, so buy your tickets soon.
Okay, well, I want to thank you so, so much for coming on the show with me. I do appreciate it. So thank you so much. I can't wait to see the show. And I will see you guys next week in our episode. I believe this episode will be the homecoming game. So if you're going to the homecoming game, please come by and see us. Bye!